going to give a different perspective on it, and something which is a much finer point to it. And I guess it's understanding the nekuda of the kavod. Olameinu olam ha'arachim. Let's understand this point, because he speaks a lot about kavod of all, but in the positive sense of the word, and trying to understand it. When we say a person is a bardas, a person has das, the place where a person differs from a machine, now that we have computers, we at least know where we have to find a distinction. A computer can take sums that I gave it and can work with it quicker than a person can. But there is something that is uniquely human that a computer can't do, and that is assign a value to something. I know that a car can drive four people from one place to another place, and I know that a bed can sleep a person. Which is more valuable is, there's no way to say. A diamond looks very nice. But whether a car is better than that or a diamond is better, there's no objective way to measure it. In other words, the concept of assigning value is uniquely human. People think diamonds are worth a lot, gold is worth less, this type of neighborhood is worth more than that type of neighborhood. Those are elements that are the values a person assigns to it, and that's called erechim. So, olameinu hu olam ha'arachim. In our world, we have, it's a world that has values assigned to it. Ein lecha davar ba'olam shein lo erech. Erech hu inyan mugdar ha'mizbatei mechir shel ha'davar. So for most things, we assign a value by money because we can trade it. So how many chairs would you trade for a table? Gives it a relative value. So for items of material goods, price sets the value of it. It's not even the cost to manufacture it. It could have cost me $1,000 to manufacture it. If people will pay $10,000, it's worth $10,000 for them. That's how much I'll sell it for. If people are only going to buy it for $5, I'll make a clearance sale and sell it for $5. Kol uman v'chol socha mekabel kesef t'mur z'charoso. Gam l'melachto shalodom yesh erach. Work that you do also has value, and I assign the value by paying you for it. Hamizbate bischa shemishal mimapuro. Bevadei gam leruchos usherch. So what about things that are not material? Can we assign value to it? We have to be able to assign value, or else we're lacking something very fundamental. When a person speaks about davening, so what is davening? Is it good? Is it very good? Is it extremely good? For me to relate to it, I've got to assign a value. It's hard. You can't assign a monetary value for davening unless you're chazan getting paid for it or paying to have the omelet. But where is the, how do I do that? Ach iyef shalavato b'tashum kaspi. Bavnem is bater sov eshkushon. How do I evaluate it so that it falls under the sense of human grasp. Bekavod sherosh shemlo. Kavod is the elementary, it's the way in which I describe the value of something, even if it's not conscious. So for instance, somebody walks in who knows all Mishnayos Baal Peh. So I say, wow, chashev. Somebody walks in who knows Shas Baal Peh. So I say, wow. I assign a value to the, somebody else walks in and he knows all the baseball stats for the last 10 years, Baal Peh. So it depends. I could say, wow, what a waste of a mind, chaval. The person is not worth more because he knows so many baseball statistics. Or I could say, ah, let him go. That depends on my sense of values. But kavod is the ability to establish a scale of values for something that is not material, and I can't measure one against the other, so I'm going to have to measure it in terms of kavod. Let's describe it with one more nekuda of how it is. The kavod is usually seen in terms of deference towards something. In other words, the acts of kavod are kind of, I stand up, I bow down, things of that nature. Just like a more valuable object in terms of money can incorporate, if I sell a piece of land worth $1 million, I could buy 10 lots worth $100,000. So that means that incorporates it. That is bigger than that, includes it. When I see myself in front of somebody who is bigger than me, then I show my smallness compared to him. So the act of kavod nechbadus is an act of describing relative value in things that are not material. That's a general sense of what kavod is. In Yezayas Bayapek, Zanash Mechavodas HaMusayas, which you learned before, Shom Lo Madnu, Ke'inyan Kavod, Hu Yitzira Shal Anhagim Chubedes, Shekimat Einen Itfeses B'Chiyuv V'Yisurim, O B'Choldos HaChumer Shal Abura. He describes in great detail that you find the Torah assigns different obligations and restrictions based not on mitzvahs and averis per se, but on the world of kavod. He's going to describe it in a minute. In other words, the Torah required engaging in the framework of kavod, but and it's quite chomer, even though it's hard to put a specific finger. For instance, kiha, the ha'ochel b'shuk domo lekesef u'pasul la'edus, yudei she'eino makbid al kavod atzmo. Let's talk about this. Ha'ochel b'shuk, let's say if you have a line, ha'ochel b'shuk eino oval shum isa, avul ein lo adinus ha'nefesh v'zeo psul mamish. The Torah, forget about kavod for someone else. The most elementary obligation as regards kavod is a person for himself. In what way? He says, because it says if somebody eats in a marketplace, he's like a dog, and he's posulatus. He eats walking the street. Now, there's no avera per se. The food's kosher. You wash your hands before. You had a mind to mention afterwards. Yet, all it is there's a problem in the kavod for yourself. And let me use an explanation a minute for the Maharal says a very interesting pshat here, which fits in a certain way with what he's saying. Why is it that a person who doesn't have kavod for himself is possible for haters? So Maharal says a fascinating pshat. If we ask ourselves, what keeps us from doing averis? Why don't we do things that are bad? What's the primary motive? Today we don't have Malkus, we don't have Mrs. Besen. If a person gets in trouble with the secular law, we don't have horrific punishments. I was once talking to a person who was an old accountant for many years, and I was telling him that one of my classmates was doing 4 years time for having done insider trading of, I don't know, a few million dollars worth. So he immediately ran the calculation through his head and said, you know, 1.25 tax-free 5 years, not such a bad deal. And I remember his wife was horrified, and I said, Morris, like, you know, and he said, no, just as an accountant, I'm running the figures. What keeps us is what really keeps a person from doing wrong is losing his nechbadus. You don't want to be held up as a liar. For people who are respectable, people who are uncovered. So if a person gets up and says, Aedus and Besen, and he says, I'm telling the truth, the thing that keeps him most honest is that somebody can't get up and expose him as a big liar. Aedus will come and say, what are you talking about? You weren't even there. If a person has no self-respect, no covet for himself, then what's to keep him honest? So the Maharal says that's why he's postulated. He has a little bit of different knetch. An adinus, and we'll explain in a minute what he means. Adinus means a refinedness or an edelkeit. Umau mekor adinusois, have a omer, Yediyas ha'adam shemekanen bekirbo tzelem Elokim kadosh. Shabore nofach ba'apo nishmas chayim v'chochmas lev v'toyva seichel l'hakiro l'yir miponov v'limshol b'guchol v'dusov. Yediyah v'akara d'sartez nefesh. So he comes to the point of what causes a person nechbadas. For instance, it says, Ezehu nechbad ha'mechavis avrios. Why, if a person looks at himself, what is the primary reason that he should engage in nechbadus? Why should his behavior show nechbadus? Is it because what I did such great things, I'm such a great person, then you're running the risk of being a balgaiva? No. Let's say a person walks into the room carrying a Sefer Torah, and somebody's not dressed, so I'll tell him, put on something quickly and stand up. Because I'm carrying a Sefer Torah, I have no problem with that. Every single person carries within himself a neshama. And if a person is aware of it, then it first and foremost, it requires me to act in a way that befits something that's carrying a neshama. If a person eats in the shuk like a dog, he walks around living on a hot dog in the street, so he doesn't have the sense that he's a tzelem Elokim. It's not something that I feel that I am. So I'm lacking the most elementary regard for what my mitzvah is. So kavod is a positive virtue. Step one. That is the covet of the person himself that he carries a tzelem Elokim. The second place is the other person. The other person, no matter how much I don't like him, no matter what he is or what he isn't, he still carries a neshama. And if I could be mevaza him, if I could not give him the respect, the fact that he's carrying a neshama tzelem Elokim, then it means that I don't understand that, and I'm not toe-face a concept of a person meets Tzelem Elokim, or it doesn't mean anything to me. But there's something wrong if I really want to say that the person is carrying Tzelem Elokim, and I have to show him respect. I can argue the point of the argument, so on and so forth. So the yisod that he's putting down is that the respect for a person is due to the fact that it's Tzelem Elokim. It starts with yourself. If a person is not careful in things that should be his own kavod, then he's lacking in the hagashah tzelem Elokim. If another person's kavod doesn't demand the elementary sense of the shivas that is a tzelem Elokim, I disregard it also. And then he's going to go on. We don't have the time really, but as far as Torah goes, it's al achas kam v'kama. If a person, and I'll just say out what he said afterwards because it is late. If a person learns and doesn't feel that he needs to act differently because he learned, then the Torah itself is not carrying a Sefer Torah. He doesn't understand that something that he's now incorporated something that's made him more chashuv. If a person doesn't respect somebody who is more who's learned, who's a Talmud Chacham, then you're not showing the respect for the Torah, because the Torah is not just a piece of parchment with ink; it's a person who incorporates it. So both of them. I just finish off with a story that a thought I had. Somebody, I have a cousin of mine who lives in a town, a suburb of New York that's kind of labeled as modern, for better or for worse. And my cousin is a very fine person, really a wonderful person. And one day he was talking to me, he was very upset. He said somebody in the town had made a bar mitzvah for his kid, and he invited five basketball players at $10,000 a shot. And he was very, very upset that with that money they could have hired another Rebbe in the local school, or whatever it is. And I told him, I don't think that's the point. I don't think that... It's the problem is the money. The community has enough money to hire enough for them without the baseball players. That's not the issue over here. But I told him, what is the message to Rav Mitzvah? If a Soloveitchik would have come, they wouldn't have dreamt of giving him $10,000. they would have maybe sent a car to get him. They would have been mahabit him nicely, but they wouldn't have paid $10,000. But five shchayrim from the basketball team is worth $10,000 apiece. So it's a very clear rating system of what's really valuable in life. You've shown value exactly, and we can show to our kids. You know, kavod satorah, everybody can feel darga. Kavod, like Talmid or Akiva, if they don't have the kavod for it, they don't have Torah. If I have a kid who plays, if let's say I give somebody diamonds, and I tell them these are just little worthless paperweights, and they're just floating around the house, if he doesn't treat them like diamonds, they're not diamonds. Because the diamond exists when I can give it its value and its place. Kavod HaTorah doesn't mean the practice of standing up or sitting down or this and that. Kavod HaTorah means valuing it for what it is. What a person can give over to his kids more than anything else is if he values it. If a person treasures the time he set aside for learning, it's hard for him to break it, not because it's, you know, whatever, Navera, and he's going to get together, but it's valuable. If a person treats himself with chashivas, I can't do it, not because it's also, but it doesn't, you know, I'm a Talmud Lakim, I'm a Neshama. If a person treats another person with chashivas, if a person treats Torah and Lomdei Torah with chashivas, those are all things that convey a massive value. We can't put price tags in the literally on people and on Torah and things like that, but the way you relate to it, your voice, your attitude, your tone, everything about it, that really is a message sent to your kids. So Hachanas HaKavod HaTorah and Talmid Rabbi Akiva have a lot together, because how much say we have, everybody's different, everybody's different, selfish mind, but the value of it, how much we value it, that's Shavu Chol Nefesh. And that's why the epigam of lack of Kavod HaTorah was especially pronounced. The time when it took its effect was between Pesach, in the time of the Sefira, and if we are metaken it, if we go with it, then the Kabbalah HaTorah is in its place. Okay.